The following program is rated TV MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
So you never hear the jingle when I play it.
I do now because I press the fucking button. For this entire time, I could have been pressing A. I was just like mimicking. But now Danielle's card was...
My card is full.
It's full. Her card is full because we've recorded so many fucking episodes.
God only knows.
Oh, my Mercury Insurance is calling me. That's perfect fucking timing. Hi, your insurance is about to expire. Oh no.
For your car?
No, this is the important call that I need to take and I can't take it. Oh shit.
What is it for?
Snap.
Take
I'm going to have to call it back. I'm going to call it back. No, I'm going to call it back. So there was an accident that happened in front of my house like a few weeks ago.
Okay.
And not with me. I went out and it looked like I started watching because it reminded me of like my first accident where I was just like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like what's happening? You know, like you could tell like it was two girls. One was a little bit older. The other one, like she just got her license. But I think from what I can determine, because I didn't see the entire thing, but what I could determine was the girl in the right-hand lane stopped. And then I think because she stopped, the girl behind her came around in the other lane and then made a right-hand turn in front of that car because she was stopped. But then the car proceeded and then there was a little scrapey. So really, who's at fault? Like, you know, obviously the person that...
Who hit the rear end.
Yeah.
Whoever's the last in line.
Yeah. So anyways, some random chica came to the door yesterday and was like, "Hi, is this your Ring camera?" And I was like, "Yeah." Ugh. She's like, "Can you see if you got a video of the accident?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, but then I forgot that Tom, because the alerts are, we're on a busy street. So the alerts are like constant when it's like traffic. So he turned that off and he like faced it down just to the porch. So I was like, I don't. But then she was like, well, if you witnessed it, so can you? And I was like, sure.
Let me just add that to my list.
And
but you're a good citizen.
I've been feeling that today, Danielle.
What do you mean?
Bro, guys.
First of all, so let's do.
Hi, babe.
Hi, Scout. We're just like, bleh.
Here it is. Here it is. So funny.
Let's just talk about what. Yeah. So finish telling me what has been going on. What is going on in your life right now?
Dude,
let's do a little catch up.
I am stressed the fuck out. I am so stressed, but I'm also just like frustrated and like kind of like moody in a sense where I'm like over answering people's like questions regarding
just in general about everything.
Well, right now regarding the wedding, and I'm just like, I don't understand.
Yes,
we're all adults,
are so
right?
Fucking stupid. Why you can't just be like do your shit? Why do I have to hold your hand? I'm
the
bride.
I don't think I would ever like call a bride and or text a bride and be like this question, or like even make that person feel bad for this that they can't control. And that's what's happening in my with multiple people. And I'm just like, I'm over it. And then the amount of like attitude that's coming back that I'm just like, wait, I am being so nice and above right now. And I don't understand why you're being so mean. This is so weird. Like, it's just kind of, it's a lot. And I know that like a lot of people's personalities come out at weddings. So I've heard from you and all these other people, but
as you can now see,
I didn't think it was guests. I thought it was like the fucking wedding party.
No, it's everybody.
Bro.
It's everybody.
Bro, it's driving me fucking up the wall.
I disinvited people. I fired my manager that I had been working with for 18 years over the way she handled the hotel situation at my fucking wedding. David disinvited her on the phone. She already had her ticket to Hawaii, her room booked, everything, and called her and said, you can't come to the wedding. Because
why?
You
what happened?
Are stressing my fucking wife
that's,
out.
That's the thing. It's stress. It's so weird.
Look at things weird in my glasses.
I don't know. It looked like you got punched in the... It looked like... I don't know. I don't want to say what it looks like.
What is that?
Oh, I think it's from the...
Shadow?
Yeah, it's the shadow. It's a shadow of something like a wire. It looks like a wire or something is reflecting.
I don't
know what the
fuck that
is. I
don't understand what it is. I'll take off my glasses, but then I can't see you.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay.
Here, there we go. So I'll just, here, I'm just going to tilt my hat. There we go. There we go. That's way better. Way better. It's that fucking light I put on so I could see what I was doing.
That's what it was.
You know, I don't remember it because I got married 10 years ago. I don't remember exactly what happened, but she was always a pain in my fucking ass. And then I just had gotten to the point where I am where you are, where I'm like, I'm done. I don't care. I don't want to fucking handle it. For me to be like, David, you need to make a call. Like, I can't do this anymore because what is wrong with people? She was complaining about, first of all, everybody was complaining about the time of year that I was doing my wedding.
Dude, it's so weird when people are complaining about things when it's your wedding. I'm like, why are you?
Don't come. Then don't come.
I know.
Then
like, you're making me feel like poop. You're making me feel like poop.
If you can't afford it, if you don't want to be there, then just don't come.
Yeah.
But like to cause problems because you're stressed out about whatever. In my situation, she was stressed about money. So I was spending my time trying to find another guest that was a single woman that was coming that would be willing to split the cost of a hotel room for her because she couldn't afford to do it on her own at the Marriott, which is crazy town because she lives in some big, you know, she had the money to do it. Like, it's ridiculous. But whatever, I guess she was just having a hard time. So I set her up with another girlfriend of mine who she'd never met before to room together. And I was like, here you go. Hey, my friend, you'll save some money. She's like, just going to be sleeping there. Like, you got it. You'll be fine. It won't be a big deal. And my manager continued to like cause problems for my girlfriend that was staying in the room, who'd already got the room, already bought the room, was like, didn't need her to fucking stay in there with her, but was doing me a favor. And then my manager made it impossible with 800 million questions and issues and needing to rearrange things and help her with certain things, whether it be like, how I need to know how I'm going to get from here to here.
It's really just figure it out. Really funny. Two things touching on that. It's really funny when people are making this day revolve around them when it should be about the bride and the groom. Like, there, you shouldn't even involve me or Tom in any of these conversations. me that feels Tom's affinity. Like, don't make me, if your goal is to make me feel any ounce of make me feel bad or feel bad, like, I will. Like, that's just like in my nature.
But why would somebody want to do that to you? Or you
well, it's just like anything. Like, I don't want to talk about it because like, I don't want to talk about it, but like, and get into detail, but it's just like, it's like anything. It's like, even if somebody was like, oh, well, this is hard. And I'm like, okay. So sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Like, what do you say to that? I'm sorry. Like, my wedding day. I'm so sorry. Like, but I also should not apologize for my wedding day.
No.
Being an issue into, like, I'm just like, wait, I don't want to apologize about this because like, it's my fucking wedding day.
Sorry that it's an inconvenience to you.
Yeah. That's what I really want to say. I'm so, and like, and then that goes to me like, then that goes to my trauma issue with like feeling loved and feeling like I have to like go above and beyond to like make sure that people are comfortable and nice or else they're not going to like love me and show up for me. I'm like, I don't want to feel that way. So I'm getting triggered and I think I'm pissed because like, obviously, you know, my therapist took the week off.
I was going to say, what'd your therapist say?
My therapist took the week off. So I did go see her this week.
She did. Yeah. That bitch.
I think she went on vacation or something. So I go see her.
Oh, it's her birthday.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I go see her next week. So I was like, God damn it. I can't even like figure this out of therapy. And then the other thing is like, you know, brides and grooms, we're so excited, especially Tom and I, like we've been planning this for 3 years and people were already like, oh my God, you're sending me a wedding invite now? Like, and then now that it's like coming closer, they're like, wait, what's happening? What's the detail? I'm like, you guys were fucking making fun of us for sending this so far in advance. Also, we created a very beautiful website. Why does no one look at the fucking website? Why doesn't anybody look at the website, guys? I don't understand. It says travel. It says the wedding party. It says the timeline. It says the hotels. It says everything. I'm just so floored. I think I would be okay if it was like three people, two people, but it's like fucking everybody.
Could you imagine if you had a huge wedding, like 200 people, and had to deal with this?
Bro, no fucking way. No way. No way. And also, like, my wedding coordinator, she's great. She's cool. She's awesome. But she gave us, it was like a break. Like, she just literally gave us questions to fill out, and we did everything. We did everything. Like, I got these numbers. I got those people. I got the budget. I did, like, we did everything. So I'm like, these superpowers, when the fuck do they come on? Like, the day? Is that it? Is that all I get? Is the day superpowers? And I do everything else prepping for it? And then you just tackle the day?
I wonder if they just do it, like, you know, it's kind of like when you're growing up and you're like, mom and dad are telling you to clean your house a lot or clean your room. And then you're like, if I just don't do it, they'll eventually do it. Do you think that people know that you're just someone that, because I'm sort of the same way where you're like, you're just going to get it done. So they're like, she's just going to do it. So I don't really have to do it. Or do you think that like, it's really not their job to do all the things that you're doing?
I don't fucking know. Do you think
it's like about how much money they're getting paid? Is that another thing? Maybe there's people that you can hire that like does it all. I've never seen one of those people. So
I mean,
I don't know.
I think now, like, and obviously in every element of wedding and every element of any other job, I feel like people now are like, wow, I've been doing this career for a very, very long time. I've gone be of and beyond. Not anymore. I'm going to do this. This is my worth. This is how much. I just wish that would have been in the breakdown. So then I would have been like, is $5,000, is that worth it for that?
Right.
Because then I'll fucking do it because I've been doing it. And then I'll be like, yo, Danielle, yo, Chrissy, yo, Gabrielle, we're going to set up a fucking wedding. Okay?
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like you and I could have fucking done that in like a fucking hour.
Oh, yeah.
Like we would have been like, okay, everything's set. I know what we're doing. Cool, great. Let's go. Yeah. Now here I'm having to fucking set boxes with like table one, table two, table three, table four, the card station, the bar station. I'm like doing everything. I might as well just fucking put it on the table. I don't know. Maybe
take that money back for yourself.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just being the one thing that's been very chill and cool and calm has been a lot of like my food and like my cocktail hour, my drinks, like stuff like that. I've been working with really, really cool people, like sleight of hand pizza that we're going to be having. So it's been really nice being able to work with those types of people.
They just do it. They just do their job.
Yeah, they just do the job. Just do the job. And then, yeah, tell me if I need to owe them more money because the counter, whatever.
It's like, just do it and tell me what I owe you.
Yeah, that's it. But I'm like, I don't know. It was, I was feeling it. I was agitated. And then I had an interview regarding the movie with Fangoria and Deadline Dread Central. And I instantly was like, okay, like I feel better.
Good.
Talking about work and drowning myself in work.
Yes.
Makes me feel
takes
better.
Takes away the real anxiety. Yeah.
I don't know what says to me as a person.
You're confident in that. You know what to do. You're like, you know, you're programmed.
I know what to do in this, but what I want to do and what I'm like, what I shouldn't do is like fighting each other because I want to be like.
And when you're in
you
work
take
mode
care
too,
of it. You're an adult. Take care of it. I don't know.
When you're like promoting movies or you're in work mode or you're on set or you're prepping for something or in post on something, you know, you become a different person. You check out, like your feelings check out. Anything you're feeling, you're not allowed to carry with you because you have to focus on work. So I think that it's a really good way for you to like escape.
Yeah.
Having to deal with real feelings about real bullshit issues.
I love to escape.
Don't we all love to escape? That's why I fucking take edibles at night. Are you kidding?
All love
Which
to
I have
escape.
Been having the worst anxiety. Every night I've been waking up at like 4 a.m, like wide awake, like thinking about our movie, thinking about Kath, thinking about revision stuff, thinking about, okay, like it's literally like it's already started to
calm down.
The constant.
Calm. Calm down.
I have a list. I told you the other day, I have how many tabs, how many different text chains I have going on That's my phone.
Crazy. Yeah, I'm the same way. I'm the same way.
How many do you and how many different ones do you and I just have together? Do you know?
Like 5.
Yeah, just you and I with other people.
Yeah. And then don't even get me into my other world. Yeah. I've got that, but that stuff, like, you're very much like Tom. You guys love organization. I live in chaos, yes. Baby. I'm like you should see how many tabs I have open that I probably don't need open. I have like 20 tabs that I don't need open.
No, but I have none right now. Yeah, I closed them all out got on the Zoom.
I'm cool. Like, that doesn't give me anxiety. See, it gives you anxiety. Oh,
I can't.
Luckily, I don't have that. That must be miserable. That must be awful. I see Tom go
It's really fucking hard to wake up and go to bed at night. Wake up in the morning and go to bed at night. It's very difficult for anyone that has anxiety. And my OCD is getting, and my anxiety is getting so much worse.
Get older.
That I can't keep up with myself. And it's frustrating me because I just can't stop doing some things that I do. And it's pointless. And I don't understand why I need to organize the shoe basket every day. Why
You're
I need
not,
to change
like,
the rug.
Medication or anything? Like,
well, actually, ironically enough, I was supposed to have a meeting with my psychiatrist because, you know, there's therapists, our therapist. Then she had referred me to a psychiatrist. That's when I started to get on my Prozac. And I have Xanax if I need it. But it just makes me go to sleep. So it's not like I can't take it and feel good and then still function and feel creative and get stuff done. So
it's a bummer about medication. Like, you just have to like test all this
not the answer.
Shit.
You know,
it's crazy.
I know. It's just like trying to figure out. I was like, okay, do I go for a walk? I mean, our backyard is like my poor husband, God love him. He's like fucking killing it right now in the backyard. He's got a front loader and we have like 2 giant dump trucks of dirt and topsoil that they've dumped here so we can get our grass in and get planting and like trying to find things that I like to do or that will get me out of thinking about this because thinking about just stuff. Cause I've got, you know, making sure that I do everything I need to do for you and for your wedding. I've got both my kids in sports on different schedules for different games, different places, different, you know, they have different practices.
You guys need that.
I saw it.
Have
but
you seen that?
I do my own. Yeah, I just,
I
it
feel
doesn't
like that would
that
be wonderful
me.
For you. Like, I feel like that would be super good for
like
your household.
AI assistant kind of thing. I mean, I have
the shit
boards
you've got
everywhere.
Going on.
Yeah. I got like so many fucking organizers and bulletin boards and I just ordered that giant board that you have but I had to get it a flip side because I wanted one side's got to be like career stuff like deadlines for Talk Scary to Me, deadlines for, you know, script revisions, other things that we're working on together, stuff I have to do for my website. I want to, you know, get our Talk Scary to Me website going. Like there's just like merch stuff and ideas for things and, you know, whatever in the convention world. And then there's my life stuff, you know, there's the memoir that I'm working on.
You know what this is
I'm
called? You know what this is called?
Growing up.
An assistant.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not what I don't have to, I don't want to like tell her what to do. I'm going to add someone.
That's really
and it's
difficult.
More difficult. And then I decided to get caught up on my taxes after I found out that someone filed a tax return for me into 2023 to the Franchise Tax Board. With stolen identity. So they stole my identity and tried to file a tax return on my behalf.
Oh,
so
shit. When did you find that out?
Day before yesterday. So
how? Is that just like a call that you get or what?
Right. Yeah. Like they drained one of our bank accounts and
oh, fuck off.
Awesome. And then that lovely California. And then to get your attention, essentially, I don't know who filed it or how, but it was going to my old address that I lived, you know, in the Valley. And they have my social, they had everything, you know, so everything's always had been password protected and everything's always been locked up. But now I've got like 4 years of needing to get a PIN from the IRS. So I can't double file my taxes this year because they've already been fraudulently filed.
Oh my God.
So I've got to jump through hoops to then be able to get all of our money back. Aside from that, I decided when all that happened and I freaked out, I was like, there are things we have to do that we've been talking about doing and you guys are going to have to do it at some point. And it is the scariest thing. But it so needs to be done. We are hiring an estate attorney to do our, you know, create trust for the kids, finish that stuff, to put our home in trust, to put our property in trust, to set up, you know, medical directives. financial stuff, like who gets the kids, who's financially responsible for the kids, like what, I mean, I said to David the other day, like, and this is also really interesting that we haven't done this yet. We've not sat down, and we've been married 10 years. We've not sat down and discussed all of our assets.
Yeah.
Like we have different bank accounts. We have joint bank accounts for some things. I've got pension. He's got stuff. Like we have shit all fucking over the place. It's very complicated. So for me to sit down the other day and sort of figure out like, okay, you know, I have a life insurance policy. He has a life insurance policy on himself. I have it on me in case something happens. You know, then I was thinking about like my family. You know, I have to start going through like things that I own that are worth something, whether that's something spiritually, that's something that's like, what happens if I die and I've on all this memorabilia shit of mine, all the stuff that's mine that I've collected, all my, you know, my wardrobes and my scripts and my personal things. Like, I don't want that to go into some storage unit and for it to collect dust, for my kids to maybe want to dig through or sell something. Like,
what do you think you're going to do with all that?
Well, there are certain things that, I mean, I'm weird about certain things, but you know, if they're young, there'll probably be a couple things that I want to put away for them that are like, I don't want you to sell this thing, like keep this. And then when they're older, they can do whatever they want. But what are they going to drag it around from house to house to house? You know, like if I'm not here. So, and then I said to David, you know, we don't talk to anyone in his family. So it was like, if something happens to you, I would have no fucking idea what to do. Like, I have no idea. I wouldn't know. Like, I wouldn't have anyone to go to say, help me. Like, if something happens to Tom, you have kids, you have a support system on that side that can say, okay, I know this, I know this, I know this, I can help with this, I can help with this, where it's just me going, oh my God, now I'm left with so much. We've already been digging ourselves
same
out.
Same thing with me, though. Like, if something was happening to me, like,
But I don't think David had that access to me in my life until we were married. And then when we were married, we've created the stuff together. You know, there's certain things that we want to do to protect our kids. Like, you know, he's got some vintage cars. It's like, how do we assign one car to one kid and one to the other so they don't fight? Like, how do we minimize the drama and, you know, the hurt? And then I want to make sure my mom is okay. Like, what happens if I'm probably going to be financially helping if something ever is needed for my mom medically as she gets older. It will be me, you know, that will financially probably, hopefully, God willing, be able to help. You know, what if she gets Alzheimer's? Like my grandma had dementia. Like what if I'm not here and she needs help, you know, and there's no way for her to get it because I'm so used to taking care of that stuff. I want to make sure there's something set up for her. So how do you divvy up? Like I called the other, I was Googling like who gets your residuals when you die? Cause they go on in perpetuity, you know? So like your next of kin gets your residuals, but I know at certain bank accounts, you sign beneficiaries on certain bank accounts and what the percentage of those bank accounts are that those people get. So I have all different bank accounts everywhere. That's why I was asking you the other day, where do you want to bank? Because I can kind of, I'm going to move everything to one place. So my shit is a fucking disaster.
Well,
so I'm doing
like
my
organ, but it sounds like you realize
we're
that and you're like, you're executing to make it simpler for yourself or to that and to also check off things that you need to check off. You know, some people don't think about this. Like my uncle, when he passed away, he didn't think about any of this. And now, you know, my grandma is fighting with the government over everything.
Of course, I don't want, that's why we are setting up trust for the kids. It's not going to go be probate. Like, you know, God forbid.
Yeah.
Just trying to do everything ahead of time, but it's a lot of digging in papers. It's a lot of like, you know, looking through stuff and getting amounts of this and amounts of that and this and that. It's just such a, you know, when I was already feeling last week when we were talking about the memoir stuff, you know, writing my book and the proposal being done and already feeling like I was kind of like, is this the end for me? Like not the end, it's hard to explain, but like I'm at a place in my life where somebody might care about what I've been through. That means that I've gone over to the other side, hopefully. Really, that's by becoming a mom that got me there. But it's all of these other things that's like, wow, I'm going to be 47 years old this year. And I've lived, you know, more than half my life already. So it's a cathartic weird. And I know why people have midlife crises because you're kind of like, whoa, yeah, this is all coming to a screeching halt. And yeah, I have to think about this stuff. And I'm okay thinking about it. But as I have such young kids and I'm older, having such young kids, it just makes me feel weird. And I can't explain why. Like, I'm holding on to every moment, which I guess is a good thing.
It's a good thing. But it's a really good thing.
Weird, though. It's weird.
Yeah. It is and it isn't, you know? Like,
I'm where I'm supposed to
be.
Yeah,
you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Exactly. Like, I feel... I mean, you're describing and what you're feeling from an outsider's perspective, exactly where you're supposed to be. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally what Catherine would say. She would say, say to me,
"Shit, that'll be $275, Danielle."
She'd say, "How old are you again, right now?" And I'm like, "I'm 46," and she'd be like, "You're exactly where you need to be."
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, yeah. I mean, it's just these are new feelings and new experiences.
Guess what? 10 years from now, there's going to be a whole different set of things. Isn't life fucking dope? You're like, wait a minute. I just finished that. Now there's a whole different fucking thing for this age. What do you mean?
I know.
Crazy.
But I get smarter about the way that I live my life, the older I get, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm just moving around a little bit slower, but I definitely take the time to a certain extent. I started this, you know, the show by saying that my anxiety is out of control with my OCD and needing to like do things like rearrange and organize and just shit that doesn't need to fucking be done, but I just can't live. I cannot sit with myself. So I have to be doing something. And the only way I know how to do it is like now I'm starting watching these fucking cleaning videos on Instagram of like, there's, I don't know if you've ever, it probably doesn't come up in your feed. I'm sure very different stuff comes up.
Organization.
Have you seen them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not the organization. Now it's straight cleaning videos. Now it's like watching women clean stoves.
Have you ever thought about doing like yoga or like going to like a Pilates, like, or like something like that?
I owned a fitness studio. Like I was like the queen of workout classes.
I feel like that would be really good for you. Yes, like every day to do something like that, rather than like putting your brain into like, obviously you have an OCD situation with cleaning and organizing. Yes. So I don't think it's beneficial for you and what
you deal with. Be stuck in my house all the time.
To be stuck in your house and watching things regarding that entire, you know, that thing just makes me crazy.
It does. Well, I mean, the
bitch,
only
you
thing
just
is
wait till I move to fucking Austin. You're gonna be like, what?
By then, I'll have spent some. And you know what? Though, also because I live in the country, I am home all the time, all day. So I don't have an escape. I don't have anywhere to go. So,
girl, you have a big ass house. You make important. A Pilates. You fucking owned a fitness studio.
Where are you kidding me?
Make a little. That big old deck thing that you guys are building in the back. Build a little fucking little studio for yourself. Some bar classes, do some yoga classes, go do some cool stuff.
Before I was, you know, married before I had kids, I'd work out every single day. I would do yoga every single day. I would do Pilates. Like every day I would do something new. Well, there's a boxing gym that's opening up that I keep like waiting to open up. So I think that, and then there's also a Pilates studio.
Also, like, you know, so many mommies in your community. I know for a fact in Austin, Texas, there is some teacher that would do like once or twice a week private classes where he comes community in like.
I get it. I mean, I could fucking teach them. Like I used to teach class, but I know, but it's another, but it's hard for me to hire someone to come to do it when I could probably do it better.
You need to learn to let go of that feeling of being in charge. And
well, it's also not wanting to spend the money, you know, if I know like I can just do it. Just turn on a video and just
But this is good for you. It's good for you. Dude, I had to learn that, like spending this amount of money for this and this and this. But it like, you know, it makes me feel better. And I had to learn that spending money is okay to do for yourself.
When you have this like little time period of the day where it's difficult because you know
kids
like
and all
working
that.
On the wedding, working on, you know, trying to make sure that you're taken care of, making sure that, you know, our the script stuff is coming through, talking, you know, all that stuff is like you know, and then trying to work on the video portions of our podcast stuff and figure out like art stuff and merch stuff.
Then you
and
just need shows to, you need to just set days to certain things. And,
yeah, I know.
And like literally like, you know, we usually record on Thursday. Thursday is Scout and Danielle day. Okay, great. From our scripts to our podcasts. Friday is, you know, I think that would be, that's kind of what I've been doing. That's why sometimes
it does not designate
unless it's like
things.
a producer messaging us and I have to get back to it.
Yes.
But like,
feels like everything happens all in one day though.
I know.
You know, that's why there's so many fucking things open on my phone. I'm like, I have to be careful now what I'm sending to who. That's why I asked the other day, like, is this where I'm supposed to send this? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to fuck up and I'm not great with technology. So just trying to figure out, you know, how to do everything. And my husband's been great trying to, you know, make the yard as beautiful as he can. We went to the nursery the other day and we got like a bunch of fruit trees and a bunch of sage, you know, plants and flowers and all that stuff that I will look forward to doing. I had a breakdown last night towards the end of the day. I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing anything anymore. Like I can't do anything anymore. I'm just fucking done. Yeah. But it was a combination of like, you know, trying to find fucking shoes for your wedding because my shoes got canceled that I ordered, which I'm like, okay, whatever. And then do I bring a purse? But then do I bring a big enough? I need a big enough purse to carry.
Look at
your
another
shit.
Person complaining about my wedding. Here we go, guys.
No, just kidding.
This is so funny.
No, but like, I want to make sure.
Bitch,
that,
I'll
like,
order
I,
you shoes. What size shoes do you have?
No, I got okay. But you know, like, it's probably going to be cold. Like, what's the weather? I remember, like,
girl,
even in Hawaii.
Trust me. I've been checking that shit. We will know roughly what it is in like 2 days. We're crossing fingers that it's not raining, but I'm hoping that it's going to be like, I really hope it's going to be warm. I hope it's going to be a high of 75 in, I mean, obviously.
But at night, your reception's outside.
Yeah,
but
we have heaters. Like we're going to have heaters. Yeah. Like everybody has heaters.
I mean, I still need like a wrap.
Yeah.
So I'm like, but then I was like, what color?
You've got tons. Bring a fucking jacket that you own. Bring a jacket that you own.
No, I want to be pretty. Like,
oh my God, you're so funny. Here I'm going to be in my snow jacket.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
You know, like I just. Bring that one.
Oh my God. You can't put that over your fucking wedding dress.
Well, by that time, I'm going to be in my second outfit. I'm going to be so fucking wasted and dancing that I'm going to be so hot. I'm not even going to care. I know me. I'm not going to care about the weather. I'm going to be like, la, la, la.
I did buy a different pair of shoes to dance in versus the ones that I'm going to wear. And also, like, you're getting married in the dirt. Like, I only wear, like, platform stilettos. So I had to find, like, platform chunky heels. Like,
yeah, but it's not
heels.
Dirt. Like, there's paths. It's a pathway.
Well, of course. But there's I don't want to wear my skinny heel because I'll eat shit.
Yeah, that's going to suck. Yeah, no skinny heels.
I'm
no
like,
skinny heels.
I need to have a fat heel. But then all the fat heels are too short because I want to be taller, which like I have to then go get my fuck. I need to go get my dress altered. Like, you know, these are things I'm just like, let me just check everything off the list. So then I'm done with that compartment in my brain. And then that tab is closed. Then I go on to the next thing. And then when I can't physically and emotionally do it anymore, I close that tab. And then I go, I wanted to start the day this morning, finishing up the first act of our rewrite for our script. I just was like, I can't do it right now. I had to do the dishes. I don't know. I do the dishes. And then I started changing art in my house and moving fucking rugs. So, you know, it's like, it never ends, Scout. It never fucking ends.
There was something that, have you tried the calming? What is it? It's like a, have you tried? No. Like, no, seriously.
This is why I started taking edibles, Scout, because our
therapist
was like,
but that makes you like space cadet.
Microdose. No, I love it. I don't worry about the fact that I have, you know, that something was sprayed on my water filter crate, my water filter metal thing where the water drips, you know, whatever. Somebody sprayed some chemical on it and it like weirdly rusted it. So I spent like 20 minutes this morning trying to figure out what it could have been, what chemical could have been. Who did it? Was it me? Was it somebody else? Like just I cleaned out, I watched videos on
maybe people. You do need pot.
I do. I fucking 100% do. I
Holy
cleaned
shit.
Out. I took apart my dishwasher the other day to clean out the filter
in
the bottom of the dishwasher.
In
Have
the
you
world?
Ever taken out the filter in the
no.
bottom of your dishwasher?
No. Yeah, no.
You know how fucking disgusting it is? And my dishwasher is not even 2 years old.
Mine's
it is
the opposite, though. My
so
problem's the
gross.
Opposite. I can get very lazy and depressed to where I'm doing nothing and nothing sounds good. And like, I am
that
in
doesn't exist in my vocabulary.
Like fucking destruction like that in my head, like inner, like that stuff happens to me. So that's why
you have depression in the other way. When I went to my psychiatrist, I went in thinking I had anxiety. And he said, your anxiety is caused by your depression. Mm. I was like, I'm not depressed. Like, I don't feel depressed. Like, I get it done. Like, I'm good. You know, I just can't stop getting it done. And it's making me overwhelmed. And I feel like I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But I can't stop. So what do I do? And then he's like, well, we do this. And thank God, I can't imagine if I wasn't on Prozac, what the fuck I would be like. I don't feel anything. So that's great.
Yeah, you know, but I have like numb, you know.
No, that's why I love Prozac. When I was on that other shit, I forget what it was. I was like zoned out. I can give a fuck about anything. I was like, yeah. I don't care that my house is a mess. I don't care that this shit's a mess. Are you talking? Because I don't fucking hear you. Yeah. Like that's a no-go for me.
Yeah, that's why like whenever I was on anything, it just made me feel worse. So that's why I found like obviously, I mean, you could probably explain it. What I get from working out and being physical, the endorphins. Yeah,
it's endorphins. It just releases good
literally
stuff.
Brings my wiring back to normal.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I'm in a shitty mood, I'm like, I just need to go work out and then I'm going to be fine. Yeah. Like that's
it. I would do a new place every single day. Also living right there in Studio City on Laurel and Moorpark, Laurel and Ventura. Like everything. I had every single one of those places.
Everything there.
All right. But a lot of the stuff is creative that I like to do too.
I know.
It's like, I like it.
Yeah. You need to have an off switch. You just need to learn that it's okay. That's the big kicker.
Yes.
It's okay to have an off switch.
I do need like a cutoff time of like, okay, 6 o'clock, you're stuck. Usually it's when the kids come home. You know, good. But I'm still like, have to still do make dinner and feed my kids and do the dishes and get them in the baths and get them in bed and get their fucking lunch ready and their school clothes for the next day. And,
when is the right appropriate age for a child to have chores? When is that?
Well, they have chores. They like no, put their but clothes like, away from me.
Make their lunches. Like, my mom would make me do my lunches. I would make my lunches. I would make my lunches at night and then I would make my breakfast. I would do the dishes. Like I would like, you know, there are small things, but like
Jagger helps. Carter's, you know,
but it's like, no, you guys got to do it. You guys got to do it every night. You pack what you want to eat the next day. I ain't packing for your lunch. Do it.
Jagger's like, I want spaghetti. No. And I want garlic bread.
If you can make a Jagger, then okay. If you can go grab that pot and you cook the noodles and you cook the sauce, go for it. That's what my mom would say.
Five.
I know. That's what my mom would say.
Yeah, but our parents were fucked up.
So then I wouldn't do anything. So you know what I would make? Fucking sandwich. Because I knew how to do that.
Pickle sandwich.
All right, guys. Okay, so we're gonna pivot here into a much darker topic. I'm gonna talk scary.
Talk scary to me, Scout. That wasn't fucking scary
enough. No lightness over here this episode.
But it's good for people to know that like they're not, you know, we all have
not alone. You're not alone, everybody. Not alone. Which makes me
tell me something worse than what's already happening.
So I think we talked about this story, or I talked about this story a while ago, but we never like dissected it. Do you remember Aiden Fucci? F-U-C-C-I? Fucci? How do you pronounce that?
Fucci?
Wow.
Yeah, like Stanley Tucci. T-U-C-C-I. Oh, it's,
yeah, Tucci, yeah. Okay, Aiden Fucci. You remember his case? He killed the cheer. Okay, so at 9 a.m. May 9th, 2021, the Bailey family was prepared to celebrate Mother's Day when a Bailey siblings went to her room to wake her up and discovered that Bailey was missing. And after a short search of the immediate surroundings area, her mother, Stacy, called 911 to report her daughter missing. Early that morning, according to the police reports, Trey, a friend of I'm not going to say his last name because Aiden said that Aiden had asked him for Bailey's phone number. Aiden called Bailey and convinced her to leave home to go see a friend. At 1:45 a.m., a residential surveillance camera recorded the two people walking east on Saddlestone Drive, strongly believed to be Aiden and Bailey. At 3:27 a.m., the camera recorded a subject running towards the west carrying a pair of white shoes. First of all, what house is it okay for a 14-year-old to be out at 1:45 a.m. in the morning to like 3:37 a.m. in the morning? Wait, what?
Was she sneaking out or was she allowed to be out?
But they went to someone's house and played video games. Mm. Like there's no monitoring or anything?
Yeah. Whatever. What was your curfew growing up? At what age? You're like, whatever. You're like 3:45.
No. I didn't have a curfew.
Were you not allowed out?
Because I wasn't allowed to leave the house.
Shit.
There was no leaving. There was no sleepovers. There's no leaving the house. There's none of that. I remember when I was 16 years old. It was a 16. Maybe it was a little bit younger. Maybe it was 15. Finally, I was able to have friends over.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we were.
I could not have lived a more opposite life than you growing up.
Around 6 p.m. on May 9th, a resident was walking through a wooded area at the end of Saddlestone Drive, south of Jacksonville. Upon reaching a pond, he found the stabbed body of a girl. Around 8 p.m., it was confirmed that the body belonging to Tristan Bailey. She had received 114 stab wounds.
It's crazy.
49 of which were defensive. Mm. Fuck off, man. Her body was found with the word karma written on the inside of her left ankle and a smiley face drawn on her right ankle, but it is unknown who wrote it. And then there was a knife at the tip of the knife found in the pond near her body, which had Aiden's DNA on it. It had been said by multiple friends of his that he had commented that he wanted to murder someone.
Oh, okay.
And that he was going to murder someone in the next couple of months. My God.
Love how nobody called the police.
Dude, we need to like teach your fucking kids, like whenever you hear shit like that, like don't stay silent. Like tell someone.
We'll call the police.
Like tell someone.
Tell an adult. Yeah.
And then also an ex-girlfriend said that he would fake stab her sometimes.
Oh. God.
Dude, that's so fucking bizarre. It's so nuts. And also when he was put into the patrol car for questioning and he recorded a Snapchat the entire time going, one was labeled like a picture of him behind the police car saying, where are you at? Like, where'd you go? And then a Snapchat of him like going like, we're in the fucking cop car, like stuff like that. Like insane. So he came home, they searched his place, and obviously they found evidence in his room of like bloody clothes and stuff like that. Yeah. But it came to light that I think this is when we talked about it, his mother saw the clothes and she washed some of them. She saw blood and she like tried to get rid of like the blood. Mm. I don't know if she thought that like my son killed this girl or she was just like, I mean, who knows? Like there hasn't been.
Yeah. He's a boy. He could be out like in the woods, like messing around or something, you know?
So then I was looking up, I stumbled upon this video of his parents when they went to go see him in the interrogation room. And it just like, ultimately, it made me think of like, if I was ever in that situation.
Like with your child or?
Yeah,
or
with my child.
Yeah. It's a hard one.
It's fucking so hard. So I want to play a little bit of this.
You know, they found this girl, right?
Where?
In our neighborhood. Down our main street.
Is she good?
No, she's dead. That's why this is very important. It's all on you right now.
That isn't my problem.
You were the last one
seen with her. So right now, it's facing you right now, son. So however you talk, you breathe, you think, then you respond.
This is very serious, Aiden. You can't act like I don't know. I don't know. You can't, and you can't
you
say
understand
nothing.
This is serious. Clearly. You understand, right?
Mm-hmm. Everything you say will affect you.
that Snapchat that you did was not very smart.
Not good at all. Now we have people wanting to burn our house down and our cars down because of that Snapchat thing you did. It's all over. You're all over the internet and everywhere. Social media.
It is on social media. You'll probably come stay with me after we get done with this, just for your well, safe being.
But how crazy is that? How insane.
Like, I mean, it really is. It really is difficult to know how much responsibility the parent is supposed to take as well. You know, it's your kid, but sometimes your kids are out of control. No parent wants to have their kids turn out the way they are. I mean, if they are that kind of person, it's fucking devastating. But parents have to take responsibility for their children in any situation.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, there's all that, like I was telling you last week about the kid that was like beating, you know, smashed his head, and they were recording at that group of the gang of kids, and you know, all their parents are possibly facing charges for trying to conceal certain things. We talked about it. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I mean, I'm very much like I do things by the book. Like there's a right and there's a wrong. There is no gray in some areas. And if you did something, I would say you have to pay the price for it. You're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to turn yourself in, and you are going to have to make this right. Whether that means spending your life in jail or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sure parents have, you know, I'd be curious to talk to a parent that's been in that situation. I mean, we've watched enough documentaries on it, but until you actually are in the room, I can't imagine that push and pull between, you know, especially the mother, between that, you know, that nurturing attachment you have to your child and then them turning out to be a monster. But whose fault is it? I mean, is it nature nurture? Like, is this stuff that they're born with? Is this a hereditary? Is there our mental, you know, like what is it?
I think every case is different.
Yeah.
You know, that's why in this case, I watched another video of him when he finally, you know, he got 40 years and he was on a phone call in prison talking to one of his family members and kept on talking about like how, like voices, like he was like, I hearing voices and stuff. But
so
I don't
now
know.
He's pretending to be
crazy. I didn't know if that's what my thought went to, but then apparently earlier on, one of his friends had mentioned that he had mentioned to him he hears voices.
Mm.
So I just don't know if there's like signs that we're like missing as a society, whether you're the parent or you're a stranger or you're a friend. Like there's like signs that I think that we're like avoiding or not doing anything about that I feel like each and every one of us could do. In a lot of these cases, it seems like, you know, like if your kid heard voices and he comments about it, or if a friend like says, hey, I want to stab someone and I want to kill someone the next couple of months, tell someone about it. Like there's things that like I feel like could have prevented this poor girl from getting murdered, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what just kind of sucks. It's like, well, multiple things that are terrible.
I mean, do you think a lot of people that have those like demonic thoughts are talking to other people online that have those same tendencies and they're not expressing those feelings or those desires to people that would actually maybe help them?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But like, you know, I've had some people in my life like say some weird things that I'm also saying to myself too, like I didn't say anything, but I like was like, okay, this person I don't want to be around anymore.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, the guy that I dated that ended up killing someone and like, you know, it's like things like that. But if he was to say like,
wrong,
I'm going to murder, I want to
murder.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's like, they're not capable. Like, oh, okay. Fuck. Shut up, dude. You're not going to kill anyone. Like, shut up. Like, I just maybe they think it's just like 14-year-old like friend talk, which that's just not appropriate talking. Like kids, like the fact that
kids say weird shit. They watch fucking stupid YouTube and they pick up weird shit and say weird shit. And you know, I, I, I don't know. You don't know what they're hearing. You don't know what they're talking about. Who the fuck knows? I don't know what half of the shit means. I'm like having to look up words, which is so ridiculous. I mean, I had a friend, no longer friend, but a friend at the time make a very weird comment to me once about asking me if I would believe him if someone came forward and said that they had been molested by him. And he said to me that, you know, someone that I've known for many, 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 many years, would I believe that or not is what he had asked me. And I said, I would need to hear her or his side of the story. I wouldn't automatically believe you because you're my friend. But then there had to be something inside of me that knew that something wasn't right with him that I would maybe think. But also, you know, I would take any of it into consideration. I mean, but yet at the same time, like, yes, there are people that lie. There are women that lie about certain things and men that lie about certain things, and children sometimes make up stories. But I would say a good 75% are not. So I think you got to trust your gut instinct. And I don't know. That's a great question. I wonder what you guys think about that. Have you ever crossed somebody in your life that you had a weird feeling about, or someone that you were friends with for a long time that just would say kind of odd things here and there, and you would sort of laugh it off, like, how serious do I take this stuff? Listen, Jonathan Brandis called me the last thing, you know, one of the last conversations we had, and I've talked about this, but I'll say it again in case people didn't hear that episode, was him telling me that he thought he was high because he had been to a party, and he was so anti-drugs. He'd been to a party and he walked in, they were smoking weed, and he felt like it was in his tissue. And I was like, dude, go to the doctor, get your blood work done so you can see if it's in your system, because he was having all of those, like how you get with your panicked when you do smoke or whatever. He was having that continuously after he had gone to this party. After I found out that it had been 2 weeks since he had been to this party, I knew that something wasn't right with the way he was thinking, because it's not possible. But did I call his parents? Did I call our friends? Did I call anybody to say, do a mental check on him? He's tripping out about stuff that isn't normal. Like, something is going on here, and he doesn't seem like him, and I'm worried. No, because I was fucking 26 years old, and it was like, oh, shut up, fucking weirdo. Like, go to the doctor. You're not still high. Call me later. I'm going to go out. I'm going to the bar. Like, you're not, I don't know. You're just not thinking about stuff. And then, you know, cut to 3 weeks later, a month later, he hangs himself. So it was the beginning of a downward spiral, but I didn't know. I just didn't know if it was real or not. And now everybody's like, you don't know what to say, or there are people that are on the spectrum that say things that they don't mean, and you don't want to make somebody call attention to something that maybe is more hurtful to them than helpful to other people. It's fucking complicated. This whole world is complicated. I can't figure it out.
Yeah, it is. It is. And people are. It's like, you know, when you think, like, what would it have done if you, you know, done something, and like, is it your response? It's not your response. You know, it's like, yeah, it's really, really
I mean,
tough.
I feel like people that want to take their life are going to do it, you know, whether or not, I mean, if they've tried once and they could try, you know, they're going to, if they don't want to be here, they don't want to be here. So there's nothing really that I think someone can do. You can certainly try and help if you can.
Yeah. I think there's like, you know, like, clinics, like, there's stuff that they can do. Like, there's
it could just be a moment in time, you know, where you feel like you can't be here anymore. We've been there. Thank God that has passed, but it's a complicated place to be in. What? You're making a weird face. What happened?
Oh my fucking God, you did not.
What did Tom just do? Oh, and I'll tell you a funny story. But have Tom sit down, because I want to tell you the story with Tom.
Come sit down. Oh, I'm stinky. Are you stinky?
Who cares? She's
like
marrying
so
you.
So stinky. Look at what he just handed me.
Food. Yes.
Chili Boo! Can you pour that in a bowl so I can drink the juice? Thanks, babe.
So gross.
Love you.
Okay, I'll tell you, and then you can reiterate to Tom.
Okay.
So I had an idea for something that I wanted to talk to Tom about.
Oh, you want to talk to him about? Okay, he can.
Well, no. I messaged him the other day, but this is a funny story.
Okay.
This is what my stoner mind was thinking. like when I was in the shower at like, you know, 10 o'clock at night the other night. So I messaged Tom. First of all, I didn't have his number in my phone, which was fucking weird. I had to go to the group chat between.
Number either. I was like, why do you not say?
Interesting. How do you know that? How did you know that he doesn't have my number?
Because he fucking asked for all the time. And I'm like, just fucking save your number.
Okay.
Do people like of opposite sex when people like, do they think that that's weird or something? Like,
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is like, I had an idea for something and I wanted to share it with him, but I wanted to make sure that I shared it with him in private when you weren't around. So I just sent him a text message. I got his number off of our foursome group chat. I'm not buying you a car. You already bought yourself a car. So I just wrote at 11:23 in the morning, I wrote, morning, I want to text with you when she's not around. So you let me know. Happy face. Mm. I never heard from him. Ever. So I'm taking a shower, a little bit high, and I start thinking, oh, fuck. He doesn't have my number, I bet. No. I wonder if he thinks, uh-oh, who is this fucking texting me? Who's texting me to call them when my girl's not around? Is this a trap? Is this a weird trap? Or is Scout setting me up to see if I would answer? He never answered me. But I was like, he must not have my number. And it's like, who the fuck is
Tom O'Connell?
No, he's a good, no, but he passed the test.
Oh, he fucking, why?
He passed the test. He never responded.
Tom O'Connell?
But I'm curious to know if he knew that it was me because he still hadn't called. So I'm like, he doesn't know that it's me. He thinks I'm some random fucking girl. And he's like, I don't know this bitch's number. Hey, I'm not going to answer this everybody fucking weird text.
Close your ears for a second. Tom! How did you not hear that?
What? Because he's probably getting in the shower.
No, he went towards the living room. The only thing in the living, the other thing that he cares about the most is his plants, his balcony plants. I'm curious to know if he knew it was you or if he was like, who the fuck is this? But Bumble fucking years ago?
He knew that it was me. He went, or he was like, I wonder if Scout's setting this up right now. Like if she's crazy enough to be like, before I get married and say yes, will you test him? Because you're kind of crazy like that. But you obviously didn't.
Hey, come here, dear.
But he passed the test though, because he didn't respond to me.
That's so funny.
You know? So I wanted to tell you that he passed.
Hey.
Not that I was testing him.
Did you?
I still need to fucking talk to him.
Did you? Where are you? Damn, it looks, sounds like you're fucking hiking up a mountain. Oh, you are. Oh, shit. What the fuck is all that?
See outside?
Holy crap. Like massive amounts Amazon. Of shit. Crates? Oh, the crates.
Oh, good.
Well, I already sectioned everything off, but okay.
Perfect.
Did you know that it was Danielle texting you when she texted you? Oh my God.
Like 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Did you know that it was her?
He's confused.
No, in her thread alone. She didn't tell me what it's about. I don't know what you guys are talking about. But did you?
He didn't reply to me.
Did you know? You didn't reply to her right away. Yeah, she said, what'd you say?
Will you tell him? Because he's going to be all fucking stressed out right now.
You're not supposed to be, don't need to be stressed out. It said.
Okay, listen. Okay, Tom, you can just hear me. Okay, so the other morning I had a good idea that I wanted for a surprise that I wanted to pass your way in case you wanted to do it for Scout. So I just texted you. First of all, I didn't have your number in my phone. So I had to get it off the group.
No.
I fucking told you to save her number.
Okay, so.
Did you think some random chick was messaging?
No, it's not a thread. No, so what's funny is I text you in the morning and then I was like, Tom didn't get back to me. And I was, I'd taken an edible and took a shower. And then I was like, oh my God, he doesn't have my number in his phone. I bet he's like, who the fuck is this person
texting
me?
What'd you say?
The message was, morning, I want to text with you when she's not around you, so let me know.
I did that for sure. I think I might have reported to Joan.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Good for you. I wasn't telling
some fucking random chick message you?
Oh, you're going to tell me every time some guy messages you on Instagram? No, you don't.
I do.
There are all those hidden messages.
Okay, text is a different fucking thing. Texting,
you get spam texts too.
At night, dude, I not go... Who is this?
I'll tell you that, but I don't think you would respond the same way I respond.
Good for you. I was like,
bitch.
Literally, yeah, exactly. I was like sitting there going, okay, I don't know why.
I'm not biting.
You can't be busy. And then I was like,
listen to the way that text sounds. Like, would you respond to that?
Yes, it sounds horrible.
Text me when she's not around. I'm like, no. Yes. No.
But if you would have my number saved,
I just,
you thought I was so great. Now you can't even text Danielle because you reported her? Oh, my God.
I'm sure I've been reported as junk before.
No, because you're in the group thread, too, with David.
Yeah, but that's how I got your number, was from the group thread.
I didn't recognize
I didn't have your number either.
I have told him several times.
I know, that's not the point, Scout. Okay. The point is he passed, even though there was no test. He passed, regardless. I was like, dude.
Wow, you thought I was setting you up?
Setups, it's just like, I don't care if it's a setup or not. Like, I'm not responding to that person. I don't know who
good
that
for
is.
You, Tom. Aww, Scout.
Because you love
good.
Me, you want to marry me.
Uh-huh. So, but Tom, it was me, and I do need to talk to you when she's not.
Okay, yeah, I'll reply. Okay.
All right, guys. Happy motherfucking Tuesday, y'all.
Happy Tuesday, you guys. Follow us on Patreon, please. Talk Scary to Me. We've got so many fun things we want to do and share with you. I'm also toying with the idea of maybe doing like a once a month Q&A, half an hour with Scout and I, where, woo! You know, we've got some awesome loyal followers that are on our Patreon and we can just answer your questions and chit chat and get to know you a little bit. The ones that haven't written in, but want to be part of the show. And make sure you subscribe and do all that fun stuff to our Spotify and our Apple iTunes podcasts and all of that fun jazz.
And submit your questions, y'all. Submit those questions and stories, please.
Yep, questions and stories. We love them. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.